Now, French Prime Minister Manuel Valls says some 1,400 individuals from France have either joined extremist groups in Syria and Iraq or are planning to join them. Valls says some 70 French citizens or residents have already died in Syria and Iraq while fighting along with terrorist groups there. His remarks come as the government had announced back in mid-December that around 1,200 people had or planned to join terrorist groups in Syria or Iraq. The French premier added that the figure was only about 30 cases when he came to office in mid-2012. France and Belgium are said to have the largest numbers of militants who have joined the extremist ISIL group in Syria and Iraq. Joining us via Skype from Irvine is Soraya Sepahpul Ulrich. She's an independent researcher and writer. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, ma'am. Now, first of all, if these cases were known to the French government, why then allow these people to go to Syria and fight alongside the extremist militants? Because let's not forget, there have been numerous warnings in the past about what these people could pose as a threat when they return to Europe.
You pose a very good question. Exactly, if their intelligence is so strong that they know exactly how many plan to go there or how many have gone there already, one would have to ask why they haven't stopped them from going. And the other question to ask is, were they carrying French weapons going to Syria? Because we know that France is one of the countries that is arming the terrorists in Syria. They don't like to call them terrorists if they are fighting on the side of the French, fighting against President Assad. But that's exactly what they are. So these groups have been fighting, coming and going, and being trained in countries that are aligned with the West to overthrow Mr. Assad. And, you know, this will maybe just a blowback, what we witnessed in Paris. My personal feeling is that it was perhaps more of a setup, and I don't want to absolve France of its crimes whatsoever, not only its colonial past, but its role in what it did in Syria and Iraq in arming the terrorists that are fighting there and killing people. But this Paris shooting, the incident, the attack, came on the heels of France being warned by Mr. Netanyahu not to recognize a Palestinian state. It came on the heels of France wanting to get rid of the sanctions that are being imposed against Russia. So I don't believe for a moment that this is, for one, an assault on a paper and freedom of speech, and this threat that we now hear about is real, because they wouldn't be warning France, they would be carrying out these actions. And secondly, it just seems that since there are more and more people coming out in support of Muslims, be it in Germany, be it in France, be it in France, now we're hearing these threats that are coming from the so-called Islamic terrorists that, again, are funded and trained and sent overseas by Western countries, France being one of them.
Right. So, Ms. Ulrich, even if we take the Western narrative or the government narrative at face value over here, that this was completely out of the hands of the French government and it was an incident that was just not predicted. However, as you've just pointed out, this is an obvious consequence of France's policies outside, specifically within the Middle East. Why do you think the mainstream media has not basically picked up on this part of the chain of events?
The mainstream media is not in the business of informing the public. They're in the business of misinforming the public. And this is why you get all this diversion about this being about free speech and preserving French values and the global values who believe in free speech. This is exactly not what it is. It is most certainly either a false flag, which many believe it to be, or it is a blowback. The actions of the Western governments to interfere in lands far and wide, to get rid of legitimate governments there, and to utilize terrorism as a means to do it. There was once upon a time, there was a very straightforward method of getting rid of undesirable governments like coup d'etats and what have you. These days, we're seeing more and more tools in that are being applied. One of them is terrorism. You know, you send in terrorists to weaken the domestic government, the regional governments, and the governments then become so engrossed in fighting these terrorists sent from overseas or trained by people overseas, that it weakens their very army, it weakens their national security, and they lose the ability to fight the real enemy behind these terrorist faces. By the same token, I mean, just as we have soldiers who commit suicide because of the atrocities they've witnessed in Iraq or have committed in Iraq and Syria and elsewhere, I'm talking about American soldiers. So these people who are sent there, and they may well confront atrocities and not be able to live with it. And so they decide to go back to their home country and take revenge on the people who've trained them to kill innocent women and children. I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Indeed, and very, very quickly, if you can, we're running out of time. This does make the position of Muslims in the West very precarious, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, and that's perhaps the whole idea behind it. And it's been in the makings ever since 1991. It's always been thought that with the fall of the Soviet Union, Israel would lose its support amongst the American far right. And at that point, it was decided to set Islam up as the enemy. And they've had all the time in the world to do this, and they've succeeded. And this paranoia, this Islamophobia, Netanyahu is inviting the Jews to go to Israel and live on Muslim land, which they've stolen. And yet it is the Muslims that are in far greater danger in Europe and here in America.
Indeed. Let's leave it there for now. That was independent researcher and writer Soraya Sepapur Ulrich joining us via Skype from Irvine. It's always a pleasure having you with us here on Press TV, ma'am.